It's another holy day. Today we are keeping a feast with no name or purpose given for keeping it. It's a mystery. Not what you expected me to say. So let me start over. Today we are keeping the Feast of Trumpets, which points to the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to establish the kingdom of God. This day also points to the resurrection of the dead in Christ, the first resurrection, and the changing of into spirit those who are still alive in Christ. Mystery solved, right? Well, this day does not mean much to many in the world today. They're going about their regular business since modern Christianity has abandoned God's holy feast days for man-made holidays. They wrongly refer to these holy days we keep as Jewish feast days. It's a mystery to be solved that have been given, that we've been given divine knowledge from God so that we can understand this. And we must know the truth about this Feast of Trumpets. If you want a title, the title is going to be Blowing of Trumpets. So let's get a better understanding of this Feast of Trumpets, which we celebrate today. We will briefly look at its origin and whether it was kept in the Old and New Testament times. And we are also going to look at a very interesting comparison between the two testaments regarding to the meaning or to the reason for blowing of trumpets. Leviticus 23:23 gives us the commandment here. It says, "Then the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal." Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. "And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for to you it is a day of blowing the trumpets." Then it goes on to describe the different sacrifices that will be taking place on that day in the Old Testament. Now from these verses here, we get some specific instructions of this feast as follows. First of all, it was to be held on the first day of the seventh month. Second, it was to be a day of rest, no labor like a Sabbath. Third, blowing of the trumpet or making a loud clamor. Fourth, there was supposed to be a holy convocation should be held. And fifth, there were to be offerings. There was no specific reason given for the action of blowing the trumpets. Whereas in the other feast, the reason was given for the different actions. But on this feast, God chose not to give a reason for blowing of trumpets. However, in the original Hebrew language here, no trumpets are actually mentioned. Rather, the phrase blowing of trumpets has been translated from a single word, teruah, from Numbers 29, verse 1, which signifies the making of a loud noise or clamor. Another thing that's missing from these two instructions in Leviticus 23 and Numbers 29 is for this feast is a name. There's no name given. All the other holy days of God are given an exact name for it. So neither a name of this festival or the meaning of the festival is made explicitly clear in the Torah or the Pentateuch. The symbolism of the festival is something of a mystery. Because of the phrase blowing of trumpets is derived from the Hebrew word teruah. The name Yom Teruah was adopted as a name for this holy day, which literally means day of shouting, or a day of raising a noise, a day of loud clamor. From Leviticus 23:24, the phrase memorial of blowing of trumpets could be translated as remembrance of shouting. However, because blowing of trumpets was associated during this day, we call it the Feast of Trumpets, and so does many others. What significance did trumpets have to the Israelites? And which trumpets were blown on God's holy days? There's a list of it in Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and also verse 10, but you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to sum it up for you here. The trumpets were used often in the nation of Israel. The sound of the trumpet could call for an assembly of the congregation, direct the movement of the camps, announce the beginning of months or appointed feast, and to mobilize the army. The two silver trumpets were generally used for these reasons, producing unique notes identifying which action should be taken. In the Jewish Talmud, under the article Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish name for this day, it is noted that a ram's horn, or the shofar, was used on this feast day. In contrast with the musical sound of the silver trumpets, the shofar produced piercing blasts that symbolized an alarm of an impending attack or even war. The warning of war, pictured by the memorial of blowing of trumpets, separates this festival from all of other God's holy days. The New Westminster Dictionary of the Bible adds this fascinating insight to the shofar that is blown on the day of blowing. The sound of the shofar was audible at a great distance. It was well adapted to increase the noise of shouting, but it was ill-suited to be played with harps or pipes in an orchestra. At the shout of the people and the blast of the trumpets, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down in Joshua chapter 6. Is there any mention of this feast being kept in the Old Testament? Is there? Well, yes, that's why I brought it up. So, 1 Kings, if you want to look at 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Eternal, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. Now, we're accustomed to calling the Hebrew month, which all these fall high holy days occur in, is Tishri, the seventh month of God's sacred calendar. However, here it is called Ethanim. This word really has no satisfactory translation into English. The word ethanim in Hebrew has multiple meanings. The word eton, from which we get the name, the male name Ethan, acts more as an adjective rather than a noun here. 19th century messianic Jewish thinker Theophilus Lucky, in his article from Idut le Yerushiel, attempts to give us a better translation or an explanation to the name of this month. Perhaps it was called by this name because there was no rain during the month, Canaan or in Palestine, except for the water that came from the ever-flowing streams, which never dried up throughout the whole year. or perhaps because through these streams and during this month, the everlasting foundations of the earth were created. The meaning of this name is actually the month in which the heavens and the earth were created. This is why the Jewish calendar, they have this as their first month rather than their seventh month, because they believe that that's the day of creation. The name Tishri, that we know as the seventh month, on the other hand, was adopted by the Israelites upon their return from Babylon. They got this in Babylon. Tishri actually comes from the Syrian Tishrin, and it means commencement or beginning. Now, continuing on in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Eternal, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Eternal filled the house of the Eternal. What I find interesting about this is that on the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets, is when the Eternal, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, entered the Holy of Holies in the temple. I find it fascinating, since Jesus was most likely was born on this day in 5 BC. He may have been baptized by John the Baptist on this very day before starting his ministry. And he will return to earth on this very day to set up the kingdom of God. Continuing on in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 62, then the king and all of Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Eternal. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Eternal, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the, you know, the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Eternal. Skipping down to verse 65. At that time, Solomon held a feast, and all of Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt, before the Eternal our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Eternal had done for his servant David and for Israel, his people. This account of the Ark of the Covenant being placed in the temple is also covered extensively in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and also chapter 6. It continues on with Solomon's prayer of dedication and also the dedication of the temple, which continues on into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the glory of the Eternal filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Eternal because the glory of the Lord had filled the Eternal's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Eternal on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Eternal, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Eternal. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. Not too many, right? So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests attended to their services. The Levites with the instruments of the music of the Eternal, which David had made to praise the Eternal, the Psalms, saying, "For his mercy endures forever," when David offered praise by their ministry. The priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Verse 8. At that time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the eighth day, they had a sacred assembly, and they observed the dedication of the altar, 7 days, and the feast, 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad in their heart for the good that the Eternal had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. So to recap, what happened here is that Solomon had the Ark of the Covenant brought into the temple on the Feast of Trumpets and placed it in the Holy of Holies. And then God descended upon it, dwelling in the temple. Fire from heaven came down and consumed the offerings, and then even more sacrifices were made. On the 8th day of the 7th month, they held a 7-day celebration for the dedication of the temple, followed by the Feast of Tabernacles, which began on the 15th day of the month of the 7th month and ended on the 21st day. As plainly as you can see, just reading here, they kept the 8th day, which would have been the 22nd of that month. And on that evening, which began the 23rd day of the 7th month, King Solomon sent the people home. All the fall holy days here were observed. During the Feast of Dedication, the Day of Atonement would have fell. So I'm sure that they would have also have kept the fast, unless God gave them special permission not to. But all of it's right there. That's one account of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Trumpets being kept. Ezra chapter 3 is another one. Ezra chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And when the 7th month had come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren also arose and built an altar of the God of it to the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Eternal, both morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered a daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering, and those for new moons and for all the appointed feasts of the Eternal that were consecrated. And those of everyone who was willing offered a free will offering to the Eternal. From the first day of the 7th month, the Feast of Trumpets, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Eternal, although the foundation of the temple of the Eternal had not even been laid yet. They began offerings on the Feast of Trumpets. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Eternal had commanded Israel. So Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the 7th month. On the first day of the 7th month. Then he read it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before men and women and all those who could understand. And all the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the eternal your God. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Another interesting point to bring out about these occurrences here is that not only were they done at the temple, which is what you would expect them to do on the holy days at the temple, but it was during the building of the temples and also the dedication of the temples that all these things occurred on the first day of the seventh month, the Feast of Trumpets. When you think about that, all that occurring right there at the temple and as they were building it, as they were dedicating it, think about how that can relate to us as the church and Christ's return and we with him. So here's some occurrences of the Feast of Trumpets being kept in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? There are no clear instances of it being kept. However, we can see that all the other holy days are kept. Therefore, we know that Jesus would have kept it as well as his disciples. There are records of the church after the age of the apostles that show that the church of God continued to keep the Sabbath and all the holy days. Most records show that they were persecuted for keeping them. And in some instances, false teachers crept in with messages telling them not to keep these days, which even Paul had to address. One such individual was John Chrysostom at the church in Antioch, the same one that Barnabas and Paul began their missionaries from. John Chrysostom was ordained a deacon in 381 AD and a priest in 386 AD. Over the next 12 years, he established himself as a great preacher. And his homilies, or his sermons, they call them homilies, were well regarded. However, he continually chastised the brethren there for keeping the Jewish feast days. Which, first of all, it proves that they were still keeping them. Secondly, he labeled them incorrectly. They're God's holy days. They're God's holy days. It says so in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feast." They're not Jewish days. Jesus told us that the Sabbath was made for man, and that he was Lord of the Sabbath. The holy days of God were also made for mankind. And they point to Jesus and to God's plan for all of his plan of salvation for all of mankind. The Feast of Trumpets points to the triumphant return of Jesus Christ. A great trumpet will sound at his return. The dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive will be changed in an instant. As I said before, the blowing of trumpets was done often by the people of God. So I want to look at a few scriptures here where this is done and to show you what the purpose of was for the blowing of trumpets, what they symbolized. Beginning in the Old Testament, one of the symbols of what it was for was to call God's people together. To call God's people together. When Moses was given instructions to the people before God gives them the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 13, mid-sentence, it says, "When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain." God calling his people together. They shall come to the mountain. Isaiah 27, verse 13. "So it shall be in that day the great trumpet will be blown. They will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcast in the land of Egypt. And they shall worship the Eternal in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. Again, calling God's people together, gathering them together. Another symbolism is to remind God of his people. That sounds strange, but to remind God of his people? In Numbers chapter 10, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Eternal, your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Eternal, your God. So we are, by doing this, we are also reminding God of who we are. Another symbolism of the trumpets in the Old Testament, the voice of God. The voice of God. Exodus 19:19. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. This was before God gave the commandments. Now, after he gave them the commandments, the people were afraid of his voice. And they said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us. We will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. It was the voice of God, the trumpet sound. Another symbolism in the Old Testament of trumpet sounding was impending judgment of God. The impending judgment of God. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Eternal is coming, for it is at hand. This chapter continues to describe the judgment on the nations and the peoples, that this day of the Lord, or the day of the Eternal, foretells what will happen on this Feast of Trumpets. On this very day, this Feast of Trumpets, in the near future when Christ returns. This next verse comes from Isaiah 58, where God explains the fasting that, you know, fasting that pleases him. We got a fast coming up here shortly. Isaiah 58, verse 1, and this is the English Standard Version, it says, Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgressions, to the house of Jacob their sins. This land of the house of Jacob that we live in has been sinning greatly, and we're seeing some changes. Zephaniah chapter 1. Verses 14 and 16. The great day of the Eternal is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Eternal is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. Judgment of God. Another symbolism of the trumpets. Announcement for the kings. Announcing the king. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 13 says, "Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on top of the steps, and they blew trumpets, saying, Jehu is king." 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 39. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 39. "Then Zadok the priest took a horn of the oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, Long live King Solomon." So they use this sound of the trumpet to announce kings. So let's look at the New Testament, where trumpets are mentioned in the New Testament, and see if we can see some kind of a comparison here. First symbolism in the New Testament, not surprising, gathering of his people. Gathering of his people. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Gathering the people together. Next symbolism in the New Testament. God remembers his people. God remembers his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." God remembers his people. God remembers his people, and he gathers them together. Another symbolism in the New Testament for trumpets. The voice of God. The voice of God. Revelation chapter 4 says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." The voice of God. The voice of God. Another symbolism of the trumpets in the New Testament. Judgment of God. Judgment of God. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." The judgment of God is coming. The first trumpet, the vegetation was struck. The second trumpet, the seas were struck. The third trumpet, the waters were struck. The fourth trumpet, the heavens were struck. The sixth trumpet, the angels, or the fifth trumpet, the locusts from the bottomless pit. The sixth trumpet, the angels from the Euphrates. God's judgment on this evil world continues to unfold on this day, the blowing of trumpets. And one more comparison. I bet you know what this one is. The announcing of a king. The announcing of kingship. Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 4 or 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The seventh trumpet announces that Jesus Christ is our king. There will be no more kingdoms of man. God's kingdom will reign forever. So you see that the blowing of trumpets in the Old Testament and the New Testament is for gathering God's people together, for bringing remembrance of us to God. It's the voice of God. It warns us of God's judgment. And it's also for the announcement of kings. Many of the future trumpet blasts are signaling a time of war, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The Feast of Trumpets, as you know, is a very unique day. It's a very unique holy day. One other thing I want to point out about it is that it's the only one that occurs at the new moon. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us, "Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." The moon is one of the lights that marks the seasons. On the Hebrew calendar, the new month always began on the evening that a little sliver of the new moon appears. And they watch it, make sure that it's the new moon. That's how it's determined, by the moon. In Jerusalem, at least two priests would watch the moon to determine when the new moon actually began. They had to watch. Before the Jews set fixed dates on their calendar, which they did, they were so afraid of missing the new moons that they would actually keep Rosh Hashanah for 2 days just in case they messed up. The key here is they had to watch. They had to watch for this day to know that it was trumpets. It was the Feast of Trumpets. They had to watch. Jesus tells us to watch for his return, that it doesn't surprise us like a thief in the night coming when we don't expect it. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Matthew 24 and verse 42. "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Brethren, as you can see, we're here together. This was not the year that Jesus Christ is returning. So we must continually ready ourselves for his return. We need to watch. We need to watch for the signs of his coming. We can see a lot of things in the news now. There's a time that for a lot of the old timers here that wouldn't know how this nation going to fall. Doesn't even seem possible, but what we've seen in recent years, you can see how it can happen. We have to watch for the signs. We must be alert for Christ's coming. This is a special season that we're in right now. Do you get the idea that God wants our attention in the seventh month? He wants our attention. We have all the holy days here. We're supposed to be focusing even more and more on Jesus Christ and on God during this month than any other time. He wants us to be gathered together. He wants us to be learning, to be resting, giving our offerings and celebrating in his presence. We're to be even more focused on God and Jesus this whole month. We see the symbolisms in the trumpets, his shofar and the trumpets being blown on this day. And in a memorial of blowing trumpets, we remember him with our offerings, and he remembers us with this day of remembering. He wants us to come together with him. We know that he will return, because he said so himself. Four times in the book of Revelation, Jesus said to the churches, I am coming soon. One last scripture I want to read. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. It says it again here. Mark chapter 13 verse 32. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. And in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. As we watch what's happening in this world, hopefully one day we will be able to say, I am no longer looking for the signs of the times. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet.